unit, but that's kind of the guide I'm using. And the next one is the Christian in his speech. And also honesty was another one, and I thought I could somehow put them together. But so that's what I'm going to try to do this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that for each one here this morning. Thank you that we get together in peace and quietness and worship you together. Thank you for what we've learned and heard already. Just help it to sink in our hearts as we think about how Paul lived his life and how he trusted you. Just thank you so much for examples like that. Just bless us as we look further into your word in Jesus' name. Christian and his speech. At first thought, this title or topic sounds a little insignificant. You know, Christian and his speech, well, what about it? Try not to say words I shouldn't, you know, and stuff like that. It's kind of what it first hits you as, but it doesn't take long as you study it to realize it is a very important subject. Wasn't sure what to compare it with, but a person could compare it to your human body. You know, there's some parts of our body that we think, well, we could maybe do without. You know, there's, you know, certain smaller things or whatever you could maybe do without until some of those parts stop on us and we realize how important they are. Our speech is actually a bit like our body's having a symptom like a fever or a headache or something, and we realize it could be actually pointing to something different, like a sickness, underlying sickness or something. That's a little how our speech is. It's what comes out, but it's actually what's in our hearts that's making that speech. A visible symptom of an underlying condition, a good or bad condition. Christian speech is connected to what is in his heart. Actually, any person's speech is connected to what's in his heart, what the rest of his life is all about. So what is speech? Excuse me. We may have all heard someone say it's only words when they maybe didn't trust or believe someone talking. Or talk is cheap. You know, actually talk isn't cheap. It's a window into our hearts, into my heart and into your heart. I want to read Matthew 12:33. I believe I forgot my glasses. Gabe, I'll go scope them. Yeah. Sorry. Matthew 12:33 says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And I'm going to read this in another version. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. But I tell you, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle, or another version says, careless word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Another version says, for by your words you will be justified, or it works either way. Whatever we speak is a definite window into our hearts. So what is speech? What is in my heart? What is in your heart? What is coming out of my heart and yours? Listen to yourself speak. Listen to your friends speak. What do they talk about? What do I talk about? It's good to do that once in a while. Not that we do it all the time, but what do I end up talking about? Do you hear yourself say hateful words, bitter words, critical words, suggestive, impure words? Or do you speak of kindness, respect, encouragement, comfort? We're all human. We all do a bit of all of that, I'm sure. But it is good to think about what is in my heart. Whatever is in my heart is coming out. Do you enjoy people who speak good words? Or do you enjoy people who always have a gripe with the world or the brothers and sisters we fellowship with? Something to think about. It seems the frailest of all weapons, for what is a word? It is only a puff of air, a vibration trembling in the atmosphere for a moment and then disappearing. Yet, though it be a weapon of the air, the word is stronger than the sword of the warrior. So when we think of words or speaking, you know, you can think, what is speech? What is words? It's just words. But it is an indication of what's in my heart and yours. I want to look at 5 points today as we think of the Christian and his speech. First one is the importance and power of our words. Second one, honesty in our speech. Number three, good talk versus bad talk. Number four, taming our hearts and tongues. And number five, using our tongues to glorify God. I don't have a lot on each one of these points, but we'll want to look at them a bit. The importance and power of our words. Let's go to Proverbs 18. I found myself looking at a lot of Proverbs, it seemed. Just short little snippets of wisdom. Proverbs 18, verse 8. Says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Then verse 19. A brother offended is harder to win, to be won, than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So you talk about power in words. Some of these verses have just that. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. You know, words just float through the air. They're not hitting somebody, but they actually wound people. Bad words can wound you or I. We all know that. We've been on both ends of that. Maybe we've been the talebearer and we've made the wound, or we've got the wound happening to us. We know what that feels like. It's powerful. And then it says, a brother offended. How hard that is. But probably that just happened with words, possibly actions. May we offended our brother with our words. It says death and life are in the power of the tongue. I don't know what all that means exactly, but it cross-references to Matthew 12, what we just read. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So words are powerful, and we're responsible for them. It's not a little thing. Proverbs 13. Verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Seem to be saying there, be careful with your tongue, be careful with your words. Then verse 6, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. The importance and power of our words. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So there you have it. The two different things, a soft answer or grievous words. It's just words again. But they're powerful, because we're all intellectual beings. We all know what their people are saying to us, and we all have feelings. We can be offended. You know the story. A soft answer has the power to turn away wrath. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You know, this isn't talking about words necessarily here, but it is. If we're slow to, we all get angry at times. Can't necessarily help that, but what we do with our anger shows us what if we're controlling our spirit or not. And it says, if we rule our spirit, we're stronger than someone that can take a city. That's something to think about. If we want to be strong, let's learn to control our spirit. Learn to control my spirit. Proverbs 16:17, and this one doesn't necessarily say speaking in it, but I loved this verse. Proverbs 16:17 says, the highway of the upright, 16:17, yeah. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Okay, let's look at the next one, honesty in our speech. I'm just going to read a little story. I think I maybe read this at school one time, but it doesn't matter. Maybe the children can understand this story. Down in Jackson, Mississippi, three boys arrived at school late. So there's three friends that got to school late. It was late as 10 o'clock. They had been fishing. For their excuse, they stated they were delayed because of a flat tire. The teacher decided to give them a test. Immediately, so she had them seated apart from one another, so they couldn't be seated together. She said that this test will have only one question, and I will give you 30 seconds to put down the answer. The question was, which tire? Which tire was flat? The teacher was pretty sharp. There's no question as to the result of the test. The boys were shown to be liars. We're talking about honesty in our speech. I thought of making this a whole topic on its own, and I maybe should have, but I want to put this in with speech, because a lot of our being honest is with our speech. There's many other aspects of honesty that could be brought into life too, but that are in life. But I want to look at honesty in our speech. Another quote, falsehoods are not only disagree with truths, but usually quarrel among themselves. We're thinking of the opposite of honesty now. When we tell a falsehood, we have to tell another one and then another one, and sometimes these falsehoods don't even agree with themselves. It's like the little boys there with that story there. They couldn't even agree which tire was flat because it wasn't true. Another one, a lie travels around the world while the truth is still putting on his boots. Okay, thinking of honesty still. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it talks about the heart being deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So I believe that's all of us. By nature, we tend toward dishonesty if it works better for us at the time. That's kind of our nature. If we think we need to fall back on something, we think we need to be dishonest, which isn't true, but that's how our hearts are bent. So we're thinking of speech. We're thinking of what comes out of our hearts. Am I honest in my heart? So when you think of children, you know, a lot of times they're just very honest. They don't care. They have nothing to lose, and they're honest. But it doesn't take long until they figure out that if they maybe tell an untruth or a lie, that maybe they could get out of something. Luke 6:45, let's look at that one. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Same as in Matthew 12, somewhat. But let's look at that. It says, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So we're thinking of honesty here, but let's think of just a person, any person you know. It doesn't take long till you know what they're about. Like, maybe they talk about their business. Maybe they talk about someone they can't get along with. Maybe they talk about politics. Doesn't matter. Whatever's the abundance of their heart, that's what they talk about. Or maybe you have a brother that likes to talk about cows and horses. That's about all they know. So they talk about it. That's what's in their heart. It's the abundance of their heart. And some of that's fine. But when it comes to right and wrong, or honesty, what is in my heart, what is in your heart? Am I honest in my heart? Do I tell myself the truth? Do I build my life on truth so that what comes out is truth? Ephesians 4:25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Is that my life? Is that my intent, to live a true life, to speak truth? This verse says, wherefore, putting away lying. So it's kind of assuming that we're human and we have to put it away. It's not that we don't have to deal with it. But by God's grace, we do put it away. Let's think about it in business a little bit. I have a verse here in Proverbs 20:14, back in Proverbs again. Proverbs 20:14. We've all heard this verse already, I'm sure. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. So maybe the buyer's going up to someone and wants to buy something. Maybe this is talking about a market, more of a market situation where they go around and buy stuff from different vendors. And this guy says he wants to buy something. He's like, this thing isn't that good. This isn't that great. It is not, saith the buyer. But when he has gone away his way, then he boasteth. He goes to his friends and says, look what I got for half price. That's not honest. Another version says, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the Bible in Matthew 5:30. In Matthew there in 5. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Don't be mixing it up and mixing truth and untruth. I thought of this verse, Proverbs 20:14, as far as honesty in our relationships. Maybe it's taking it out of context, but do we ever go around to, we talk to one friend and you know, we butter him up and flatter him a bit, and then we go to the next friend and we talk about the first friend in a different light. I just thought about that. That's how it could possibly be in that verse of 2014. It is not, it is not. We talk one way and go to somewhere else and we talk another way. I thought that could apply somewhat in that way. Think of an example of a dishonest person. Let's go to 2 Kings 5. Second Kings chapter 5. This is talking about how Naaman went down to be healed by Elisha. We all know the story, I believe, but let's read some of it. 2 Kings 5, verse 20. We know how he was asked to go down into the river and dip 7 times, and then he came out clean. And he offered gifts to Elisha, and Elisha said, "No, I don't want your gifts." But, in verse 20, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him.' So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, 'Is all well?' And he said, 'All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come from me to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments.' And Naaman said, 'Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them on the 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hands and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. And he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from the chariot to meet thee? Is it time to receive money and receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maidservants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever.' And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow." This was Old Testament, but I believe God still views dishonesty the same. I mean, you could talk about Gehazi, you know, being wanting the wrong thing and all that, but part of this story is he was just plain dishonest. And how God judged him for that. "The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever." God looked at it very serious. It was God judging him. It wasn't Elisha. So we're thinking of being honest. Honesty in our speech. And we could look at the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Kind of the same deal. Very, very dishonest, but a very stiff judgment on it. So let's let our speech be yes and no, yay, yay, and nay, nay. Like it says in Matthew there, anything more than this comes of evil. So let's look at good talk versus bad talk a little bit. In Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5, verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses here. Ephesians 5. "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Let's go to verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the first part here is talking about some sins, some really nasty sins. But then it kind of throws in a couple verses about speaking. It says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. It kind of, as I was reading down through this and thinking about it, it seems to me that the writer here is saying, don't do these awful things, but don't even talk about them. Don't be jesting about it. Keep your speech clean. Because it seems to me if we don't, we're almost being partakers. It says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Let's not think that it's all right to talk about nasty things, because I think it'll, it seems like we almost become partakers with that. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. There's some things that are all right to talk about, and there's other things that are not. But I like over in 8 or 19 there says, what we should be doing is speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So it's not all about what we don't want to talk about. God has things that we need to talk about. It's saying here, stay away from sin for sure, but don't even be careful what we talk about, because we don't want to be involved in that sin just by talking about it. Proverbs 15. I read this one already, the first verse. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Let's go to verse 7. It says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. And then verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So there you have the different things that we can do with our heart and mind and tongue. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. We can find what we want to feed on, especially these days. There's so much information, knowledge, and all we need to do is decide what we want, and we will feed on it. But there's consequences for what we feed on. Verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Talking about the power of the tongue, the power of our words. Verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. So what's in our heart will come out. Let's be careful to keep our hearts pure and our speech pure. But Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So talking about good talk versus bad talk, communication. So let's not have corrupt communication, but that which is good, that it minister grace unto the hearers. ESV says, only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion. That word grace, is my speech, my language, my heart, is it full of grace? It's a challenge to me. Like, words are powerful. And so I want to use them for God's glory. I want to use them that it could build somebody up. Minister grace unto the hearers. Think about that. Only such as is good for building up. Ecclesiastes 10:1. I want to look at this verse 2. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. I'm sure we've all heard that statement possibly about flies in the ointment. It's just saying in simple words, you know, we probably all had the chance to been talking to maybe an older wise person, or maybe not so old, but somebody that we looked up to. And we're all human, this all happens probably once in a while, but we're talking to someone kind of wise and understanding, and we respect them quite a bit. And then they say something that is kind of questionable, and we're like, wow. And it kind of hits you sideways. That's what this verse means, I believe. Dead flies cause the ointment to stink. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So it's someone that is very wise, someone older maybe, but they mess up and they say something and we just like, it just doesn't fit with their personality, their reputation. And it throws a little bad light on that person, and it's just a challenge for me and you as older people, for sure. Let's be careful. I want to be careful what I say. I don't want to offend someone by talking about someone something or saying something that just doesn't fit with a good character, fit with a godly character. And maybe weakens their perception of good. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it minister grace unto the hearers. So let's look at taming our hearts and tongues. James 3. And you're going to say, well, we can't tame it. And that's true. We have to have a changed heart. Well, let's look at James 3. I want to read a bit here. And when you read down through here, just pick out verse 13, and maybe I'll just read that first. But it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So I want to just read down through this chapter. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. That is a very profound verse there. If any man offend not in word, if you find a person that is able to control his speech perfectly, says the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. That's saying a lot in that verse. That person is able to control his whole self. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell. And I don't know what all that means. It is very strong language. It's talking about the power of the tongue, I believe. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Here's the contrast. But we can choose this through God's power. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So just to summarize this, the tongue is very powerful. It can't be tamed. There's many things we can do with the tongue, evil things, but there's also we can choose to let God change us and use our tongues for good, like it says in the last verse there. Pure, peaceable, gentle. Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Talking about taming our hearts and tongues. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There's the verse again that we read already, I believe. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it ministers to grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the verses I want in here are, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. James says we can't tame our tongue, and we can't by ourselves. But we can allow God to renew us in our hearts and in our minds. And verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. We can let ourselves be ruled by God's Spirit. We can decide that. By God's grace, we can allow that. Okay, in closing, let's look at a few verses using our tongue to glorify God. Seems like we've looked at a lot of negative about the tongue, but we can use it for God's glory. 1 Peter 3. Verse 9. It says, not rendering evil for evil, but nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For For he that will love life, and that's all of us, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile or no lies. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Remember, our hearts is where our speech comes out of. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Verse 15 there talks about being always ready to have an answer. That answer, in the Greek word for that is apologia, from where we get a word called apologetics, meaning the careful, logical defense of the Christian faith against the attacks of its adversaries. So, in other words, the good thing we can do with our tongues and our hearts is be ready to witness for Christ. There's many things that we shouldn't do with our tongues, but there is many things we can do. Let's be ready to give people an answer of why the Bible is real, why God's Word is real. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let's let God work in my heart and yours so that our speech comes out of that good heart. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. God's grace, not our. It's not what we can do. It's God changing our hearts. And lastly, James 3:2 again, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Let's all strive for that by God's grace, to have a perfect heart and a perfect tongue. Thank you for your attention.